tourists a 46-run first innings lead. That's the latest. I'm Kieran Bangle.
Welcome to Open Forum. This is a programme delivered to you by Gadio and Reform Radio and very kindly funded by Audio Content Fund. Thank you for coming along to the show. My name is Dean McCulloch, and if you're wondering what is Open Forum, we bring together a melting pot of artists, experts and those just ready to have a good old chinwag really about our Open Forum topic, which today is all about home. If you missed the last in our series, we talked about sex, and the first of our series, we talked about identity. If you missed any of those, you can catch them at gadio.co.uk. Thank you for coming along today. Lots to get through, but first, let's welcome our studio audience. All right then, folks, thanks for coming today. As I said, lots to get through. Home is a massive topic, so let's just throw it out of the room. Let's get straight into it. What makes a home a home?
Home is basically a place of comfort where you feel safe, where you're around people you love. Unless you're alone, then you're alone. I don't know.
I think all that, and also having a sense of belonging.
A sense of belonging, yes, interesting. Anyone else? What makes a home a home?
I believe that home is where the heart is. That's all I have to say.
Oh, lovely. Yes, very poignant.
Home is a portable feeling, a sanctuary, and a safe space.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? The words safety, comfort all come up when we think about home, no matter where home is for lots of different people.
Yeah, so for me, on top of a home being that place where you feel safe and also where you feel you belong, it's also about it's also that place where you get from support to achieve your ambitions, to develop yourself and to make something great out of yourself.
Now that's interesting. So home might not necessarily be a physical place with windows and doors. Home can be an area in society, right?
I agree with that.
Okay, cool. Interesting. Anyone else?
Yeah, so from my perspective, home can have a heartbeat. It can be somebody who you adore and you feel comfortable with.
Ah, so home can be a physical person. Interesting. All right, well, stick around. On the way, we've got a pop artist called Iora. She's going to be telling stories through song. And one of them is actually called Human Touch, which will reflect on exactly what you've just said. Folks in the room then, is home where the heart is? Even if you are sharing a home, if you're in a hostel, or if you're couch surfing, something like that, can home still be home in those situations?
If you live in a hostel or you're surf surfing, you've not got your own space. You're in, like, the space is designated to you, but it's not yours.
Okay.
Home is somewhere where it needs to be for you. There's no judgment there. There's nobody looking at you. That's why you need your own personal space, and that's what home is.
Have you ever found yourself in that situation?
Yeah, I was living like in a hostel. I still am now, and I was surf surfing for 3 months.
Okay. Do you want to tell us why? Is it something that that you can share with us?
Yeah, I was first in a hostel. I was in Depaul. That's when I was 17, because me and my mum was having an argument, so I got kicked out. I then moved in with friends when I was 20 years old and then got kicked out of there because of just like money issues, and then surf serving for 3 months, and now I'm back in a hostel.
And for you as a person then, does that have an effect on your mental health? Does that affect on your job and your money situations?
It's like, yeah, it does, because like I see all my friends, and all my friends are like working these 9-to-5s, all got like cars and stuff, and they've all got like, they're living with their mums, who've got their own place, and I'm 21 sat there in a hostel. Like, it's like you're living from like pay to pay.
How do young people find themselves in these situations without a home, whatever that is?
My name's Dean Owens Cooper. I'm a psychiatric social worker and a senior worker at Depaul UK. There's lots of reasons why young people would find themselves in a difficult position at some point in their life, but I think usually they've had some kind of issue in their life that just triggered an incident, and you know, it's hard to get over. Often mental health leads to it, drugs and alcohol leads to it.
Is that a big problem?
It's a big problem.
Is that the biggest problem?
Drugs, alcohol and mental health are the three main areas which lead to homelessness.
Does that resonate with anybody else in the room? Has anybody else in the room ever found themselves either A, homeless, in a hostel, or couch surfing?
So I found myself sort of homeless. Stayed in Airbnbs for about 4 weeks. And think about getting a house if you're young and if you don't have a job. What are you talking about? The referencing system. I've got an apartment now, but to get that apartment, they had to see like 6 months worth of bank statements. They had to see referencing from people. They had to check that if you're getting some sort of benefits, that you were getting those benefits, and they would contact previous tenants. So just getting an apartment for rent these days is a lot more difficult.
Mm.
And it's a lot more stringent because they don't want to give apartments and rent out to people who are not working.
A lot of people nodding in the room then. Do you agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's like a lot of money that you have to just produce out of nowhere. I wouldn't have been able to do it without help or borrowing money from like my parents. They're just like, oh, can you just pay £500 for the deposit while you've got £500 out on another place? And from our last place, they take half of it anyway, even though you've done nothing. They sent us through this blank thing from another flat that wasn't ours at all, and they took half our deposit off us. And I was like, you're robbing young people. What are you doing?
Just to answer that, really, I think, yes, that's right. There is a lot of, you've got to put an upfront payment in, and you've already got one on the previous house. I think now, just to say to people, there is local authorities and charities do have bonds and schemes available that can help people with that. So just encourage people to access stuff like that, really.
And is that information out there and readily available?
It's available.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
It's not as available as it should be, but it is available.
Okay.
And so we need to know more about it, but we don't.
So tell us more about it. Were people listening now going, I want to know the information?
If anybody goes to their local authority, whichever the area they live in, their local housing department, they'll advise them what options they can have to apply for some funding to pay for things like first month's rent or upfront payments. Or if somebody's got in debt for some reason, they're going to lose the property, the council could also consider paying that.
Okay, lovely. Thank you for that. Okay, we are going to move on to the subject of homelessness. But first, I want to introduce you to our first artist. Super excited to have them in open forum today. It's Iora. Iora is an electric pop artist, fascinated by telling stories through song. And the track she's playing today is called Human Touch, which was written and used to raise money for the Manchester charity LifeShare, who support people experiencing homelessness. You can download the track and pay as little as £1 that goes to charity via Bandcamp. That's at lifesharelimited.bandcamp.com. We'll put all this information on our social media. The charity single Human Touch addresses the nation's homelessness problem with lyrics that focus on isolation and loneliness that so many people face every day. Ladies and gents, please give a massive round of applause to Iora.
Brother, I'll give you what I have. And sister, I'll give you what I own. My question is this, how does it all exist so close? From riches to rags in a stone's throw. These pennies in my pocket can't do much, but they go to show I haven't lost my human touch. Lavish but empty, oh they stand. How backwards is unforgiving land. The thought in my mind is how we cannot find them a home. With the costs going up, but so are the souls alone. And this smile on my face, it can't do much, but it goes to show I haven't lost my human touch. But what are we supposed to do? This problem doesn't end here with me or you. It'll take some voices, it'll take a soul to shout down these well-built walls. To shout down these well-built walls. To shout down these well built walls, and these thoughts in our heads, they might do much. If we let them out, there's lives we can touch.
Ladies and gents, give it up for Iora there performing Human Touch. You can download the track and pay as little as £1, which will go to the charity Life Share, which do great work for homelessness here in Manchester, which we need to tackle this subject. You know, it's something that that is on the rise in LGBT young people and in all young people. At least 320,000 people are homeless in Britain. That is staggering. That's research carried out by Shelter, the housing charity. Iora, thank you for sharing your story there with us. That was lovely. Have you ever experienced any amount of homelessness, or do you know sort of you know how much of a problem this is in Manchester and across the UK?
So I got involved because just being in Manchester, I realised how many like people are just, there's no empathy anymore, because it's just something that we're all so used to. And it's like, I just tried to say to people, like, even if I can't give money, just like even acknowledging that someone's there. Like, I just noticed that even me at times, I was like, oh, I'm too busy to even acknowledge that there's someone on the floor. And I was like, that's crazy. So it was just that kind of concept of, we've all become dehumanized to people sitting on the floor. I'd like to think if I was on the floor, someone would help me out or even acknowledge I was there. But so yeah, it was that that kind of got me working more in it. And then when I first moved here, actually, it was kind of the thing with Human Touch. Like, I noticed, because I didn't really know anyone, I just wanted a hug. And I just realized that these people that are experiencing homelessness, like, no one gives them a hug, and like no one like touches them, because they're probably like looking down on them, maybe, is when I've spoken to people, that's what they've said. And someone asked me for a hug once. I was like, yeah, sure, like, I don't have money, but of course you can have that, it's free. And it's like just the little things that make us people, really.
Well, your song is beautiful. Thank you for sharing it with us today. Has anybody in the room ever experienced homelessness?
This actually happened last year for me. I was staying with friends because they owned a pub, so I was staying at the pub and working there. And one night I just finished work, so I finished at like 3 a.m. and I've gone upstairs to go and get in bed, and there was an engaged couple that was basically arguing, and then all of a sudden the blame has gone on to me. So obviously, me being 20, 21, I thought, I can't be bothered with this, I'm just going to the day. So I walked out and I said, right, I'll be back tomorrow. So when I stopped at my mum's for the night, gone back the next day for my stuff, and basically I've come to the front door at 9 a.m. to find my stuff on the front door, not even like wrapped up or nothing. So I thought, right, it's all right, I can go back to my mum's, this and this. So I've gone to my mum's, me and my mum have had a falling out, and then basically, yeah, that whole night I was walking around, but in mind it was winter, I didn't have a coat, didn't bother packing my coat for me. They give me one jacket, which was like a proper thin jacket, like this one I've got on now. So I was walking around all night. So then the next day I've gone to my mates, had some food there, luckily. And I was going to do the same that night as well. But I'd say the second night, it was about 2 a.m, and my uncle drove past and he literally dragged me in the car. And that's when I'd start self surfing, because my uncle refused to let me sleep on the street. But there would be some nights where I said I had somewhere to stop, but I would be stopping on the street because I didn't want to be like, I was basically stopping on my uncle's couch and he's got like a bunch of kids, so I felt like I was in the way.
You do feel like a burden, don't you? You feel like you're just this horrible big problem person that's just causing stress on anybody just to stay in their home for one night because you've nowhere to stay. So tell me this then, so you're in a hostel now, that's right, what's that like living in a hostel?
It's good because you're warm, you've got a roof, you've got a bed, but it's bad. Like we said before, there's a lot of people who have like drug misuse and alcohol misuse. So like me, I've never taken drugs and I don't drink no more, I give it up. So you'll be in bed at 3, 4 a.m. and your neighbour will be going like out of his mind because he's obviously not got his fix. So like...
Fix on what? What sort of drugs are they taking?
I've had neighbours taking spice. I've had neighbours who have been on all sorts of pills. I've had somebody before when I was living in a hostel above me who I think was on crack, because I'm guessing they was on crack because they're running around screaming, where's my crack? And I don't know what else it could have been. I just don't want to think what else it could have been like. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hold that thought for now then, because we want to catch up with Dean Owens Cooper. He's the Rough Sleeping Coordinator, and Alexander Morgan, the family mediation worker, both from DePaul UK. Now, DePaul UK, if you don't know, provide emergency accommodation, supported housing and other services to help people rebuild their lives. Their mission is to end homelessness and change the lives of people affected by it. Dean and Alexander, welcome. Welcome to Open Forum.
Thank you.
What's it like hearing those stories of people who are living in sheltered accommodation under such horrendous circumstances?
If you go into a hostel, it's a stepping stone. So there's support there for you to move on. And the aim, as soon as you go in there, is to move on, to look at an exit strategy and a plan to move forward. Because that's right. If you do work and you're in a hostel, then you're in a catch-22 situation. But they're not designed for people that are working. They're designed for people who are on low incomes and who have not had the same opportunities in life that some other people may have had.
Okay. And what exactly do DePaul do then?
So DePaul's a national homeless charity. It's a values-based organisation. They work on prevention to prevent homelessness. They offer a night stop service. So that's where people are homeless who get a bed for the night and move to hosts' homes. They also provide family mediation. So like you shared earlier, you know, people have an argument with the mum when they leave the home. And quite often there's no professional there to resolve that.
What's common? What do you normally see? Because we've heard about drugs. We've heard about how there are people who are maybe only there for one night. They're there for a short period of time. What's really common, and how do you get out of it?
I think what can be really common actually is being in a situation where a young person is sort of with mental health issues is in crisis and having to deal with that. And to be honest, how you get out of it, it's something you learn to manage, something you learn to support, and you usually sit there with them and just sort of help them work through it. There are various courses to go on for sort of mental health first aid and things that as staff we go on to learn how to deal with these things.
And we've heard the figures, 320,000 people are homeless in Britain. Are you seeing a rise in the time that you've been with DePaul?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a rise for sure. And that's actually a big part of why DePaul is trying to get into prevention. Dean mentioned that briefly. But just to say a little bit more about that, that's something that DePaul, having been running for 30 years or so, have been focusing on relief, but now we're working on prevention. And when you were saying how you were shocked about the information about bonds and things and how the council can support that, what we're actually trying to do, we've got a homelessness education program that we run in schools. So we're actually trying to make sure that young people know when they're in a need for support and where to go to get that support.
Okay. Thank you, chaps. We'll keep checking in with you then to get your take on it. Folks in the room then, any comments on what you've heard then recently? Anything that Joe has shared with us about living in a hostel? Anything that has shocked you about that? Yes, let's go to you first and then we'll come to you.
It has really shocked me because actually I come from a bit of an interesting situation where my brother actually was homeless and he did leave and he kind of got worse over time. I saw him kind of disintegrate in front of me. He didn't want to come home, I guess because of family problems. And eventually, you know, this is why I think it is very important for homeless people to get help with their mental health. Because within time, my brother, you know, he was quite lifeless. And eventually, you know, he went on to, you know, commit suicide, which is
I'm sorry to hear that.
Horrible. And, you know, hearing these things from these people that obviously know what they're talking about, I do see the importance of it. And I always just wish that, he did get the help earlier, I guess.
So let me get this straight then. There were problems in the family home.
That's
and
right.
And he left the home.
That's
of his
right.
own free will. And he didn't want to return to the home. The support wasn't there and he deteriorated. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
He would come home here and there, just, you know, maybe if he was starving, he would come here to get some food, but he wouldn't want to come into the house. So he would kind of knock on and just, you know, Vanessa, can you please get me some like food? And I'd get him some food. And then he'd come back a few months later. I'd see him, you know.
Where would he go in between those periods?
Where was he going? Yeah. That's the thing. It's a bit of a mystery now. Even hearing what people are telling me now, you know, what a bit of like the life of a homeless individual, it does quite sadden me a bit to know that that's what he was having to go through, you know, sofa surfing, or whether he was living in hostels, whether he was living on the streets. It does sadden me a bit to hear a lot of this stuff. I guess it gives me a bit of an insight.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing your story with us today. Dan, is it important to have a place we can call home or feel a sense of belonging for our mental well-being?
Sure, yeah. There's lots of evidence out there to show that having a secure base is so important to emotional health and well-being. And we do find that, you know, with homeless populations, we have around 30% of those recognizing that they have a mental health problem. They are 10 times more likely to suffer depression. There's a concept called, some people might have heard of, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And that spells out that one of the basic things we need is just security. You know, that our basic needs met is absolutely essential. It's the basis of our well-being overall.
Dan, what can you do then if you find yourself without that basic need?
If someone's struggling from homelessness, I would definitely recommend reaching out for help. Some people spoke earlier about, you know, the difficulty in taking that step. And I appreciate that. It can feel very shameful. It can feel embarrassing, but ultimately it is worth it. You know, having worked with some people who are entrenched homeless, if they could have that decision again, if they could go back to when they had those connections and networks, they would really have taken that choice to reach out, because the help is there.
Dan Owens-Cooper, as always, thank you for joining us today at Open Forum. A big round of applause for Dan, folks. I want to introduce you now to Emanuela Ogolelo. She's a singer-songwriter, music facilitator and producer, originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and came to the UK over 15 years ago. Today, Emanuela is singing a track written by a choir of refugees and asylum seekers in Manchester. Thank you so much for coming here today. I'm super excited for this. You're going to perform a track for us tonight. Can you tell us a wee bit about the track and where it came from?
So I work with this choir in Gorton. The choir is based in Gorton, and it's composed of refugees, asylum seekers, and few local residents. And the choir was set up by this local charity called Music Action International. What they do, they just use music to reduce stresses, but also to support people who come from the part of the world where there are wars and armed conflict. So the choir, it's just there to create that opportunity for those newcomers in Manchester, in the UK, to meet new people, to make new friends, to get inspiration and so on.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing the track.
Thank
then.
You.
Ladies and gents, let's put our hands together singing Our Beautiful Motherland. It's Emanuela Ogolelo.
Where we danced, where we sang together. Inland, reaching oil, golden diamond, where we played, where we danced, where we sang together. Inland, reaching oil, golden diamond. Come sing with us, remember our motherland. Come sing with us, remember our land. Come sing with us, remember our motherland. Come sing with us, remember our land.
Beautiful. Emanuela Ogolelo there singing Our Beautiful Motherland. If you've just tuned in, we are Gadio. Welcome to Open Forum. This is a special broadcast coming to you from Reform Radio, kindly sponsored by the Audio Content Fund. Today we're talking all about home and the track that you've heard there, Beautiful Motherland. Emanuela, beautiful. So you normally sing that when you're with the choir then, do you? Is that normally part of a bigger piece?
Basically, we've got a whole repertoire. We've got like 20 songs. So this is just one song on that repertoire.
And it fits perfectly today. Emanuela, tell us your story then. So you came here over 15 years ago.
So I come originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Actually, at one point, I think the United Nations, they said like Congo was like the world's capital of rape, because during wars and armed conflicts in my country, they used rape as a weapon to terrorize a population. Just to say how it was unsafe to be in my country. So it's back then I decided I'll have to leave.
It's sort of bittersweet, isn't it, really? Because you find your asylum, you find your home, I would imagine. But do you still look back at the Democratic Republic of Congo and think that is my home?
I think that's the thing about me when it comes to the concept of home. In this new home, at the same time, it was the first time for me to come across experiences like racism, people who don't like immigrants, who have wrong perceptions, attitude towards them. And at the same time, it's just confusing. Like I said, I got back that safety in the UK, but at the same time, I discovered racism. I discovered how people don't like foreigners and so on. So sometimes it feels like home. It doesn't, because of course I've got safety, but I don't feel belonging.
Have you seen a rise then? So you've been here for 15 years. Have you seen a rise in racism? Have you seen a rise in prejudice towards yourself?
Definitely I have. I believe it's due to a number of things. When, for example, we've got this economic crisis, it will influence people definitely to look at foreigners as a problem, a issue to them, because resources have become like limited and you've got these big numbers of people. So definitely it's just increasing and increasing year after year.
This is a really pressing issue here in the UK with the governments all promising that they would end various different things with regards to asylum seekers, refugees, immigrants, and of course then homelessness on top of that. You may have seen a programme on television like Smuggled. It was on Channel 4 not so long ago, where British people tried to get into the UK with illegally, and some of them did well. With when you watch those kind of programmes and you also then read the news and then you hear a story like Emanuela, how does that make you feel as an individual?
It just seems crazy that people think, I don't know, some people think like, oh, they're coming here just because they want to. It's like these people are fleeing their homes, not through choice, and then to be met with such like unkindness, unwelcoming. Like, it's not like you said, it could happen to any of us. At some point, people will be knocking on our doors like, you got to go. And I just think we should definitely understand that part of it, like the human element of it.
Absolutely. Anyone else then? Any other comments on that?
Yeah, I don't think people are fleeing sunny tropical climes to come over to live in Slough because they really want to. They're doing it because they have to.
Anyone else then? Anyone else have a viewpoint on that? Okay, yeah, go on ahead.
Those people who blame immigrants coming into this country might do well to remember that they didn't really do anything to earn their place in this country. You know, it was just chance, it's fluke that we're born here.
Yeah, lots of nods in the room about that. Yep, totally.
I came to the country about a month ago and I got into a state university, but because I was a girl, I wouldn't be given the chance to work, to talk, or probably even
choose who to live with, who to marry, or who to see, because where we came from, women were objects and we wouldn't be respected. So why I had to come out of that country was because I didn't have the option of wearing what I wanted, who to talk to, who to hang around with. And you would be so nervous talking to a boy. And when I see like British girls, not women basically here, they don't appreciate what they have because they haven't seen the other side. When I got here, I'm from Withenshaw, so when I was walking down and the wind was in my hair, I was like, thank God I had a chance to get out and to walk under the rain and the wind going through my hair and nobody telling me that that's wrong. You don't have the right to do that. And you should be blessed because we can't do that in our country.
Thank you all for sharing your points so far. If you want to have your say, you can, of course, do that at Gadio and at Reform Radio MCR. Let us know what you think. Next up today, Scarlett Rose is a poet, performing artist and theatre maker. In October, she released EP Language of Light, a 10-piece poetry and music collaboration with sonic healer Alto Sounds. You can catch her on Instagram at scarlettrose.poet. Thank you for everything that you've shared with us so far today. Tell us about the piece then before we hear it.
So Palo Santo is an ode to Mother Nature, who will always be my home, as well as an ode to my big sister, Dora Cruz.
Lovely. Ladies and gents, big round of applause. Performing Palo Santo, it's Scarlett Rose.
Her bones were Palo Santo wood. Her blood was melted amber resin. Her skin was forged in acorn and her hair was the golden ratio. Her pupils were dark matter. Irises were pixie rings, and each vessel bore witness by the goodness of fruit. Her tears were telescope lenses. Ears were toadstool umbrellas. Her laugh was St. Bridget's Day. Smile a daisy chain, voice box a beehive. Her tongue was a honeycomb, and her words were the sacred liquid. Her footprints liberated ground water on Mars. Her arms were Noah's Ark, and her heart was a rose quartz cave I took refuge in during self-apocalypse.
Ladies and gents, Scarlett Rose. What is your inspiration behind these things? And you heard Mother Nature and the home being your older sister, was it?
The thing that always kind of I took sanctuary in was Mother Nature. There's been plenty of times where I have felt far safer, like in a tree or on a beach in the middle of nowhere in a forest, than in my physical home or my city home.
In the room then, obviously, we take things like trees, the beach, the sky, the flowers, and all of the things around us that make the world the world. We take them for granted. We do. We really, really do. Because we see them every day. Do you think that we're looking after those things, even if we're not acknowledging them every day and taking loads of pictures? And, you know, do you think that we're looking after the world?
So, no, I don't think we are looking after nature or kind of connected to nature as much as we should be. But I do feel like we are heading towards that definitely. Like I've noticed a lot more people are becoming more interested in crystals or nature works, but with that it's sort of becoming a kind of trend.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, there is awareness. We're seeing a lot more people talking about climate change more than ever before because, well, we are in, I think, disrepair with quite a few things that are happening. Around the room, I want you to tell me and the rest of the Open Forum, what is your favourite thing about the world? I'm talking about the things that we can physically see and the things that make our world our world. What are your favourite things? Just quickly around the room, hands up. Who's going to start me off?
Have you ever had a mango from like the equator, not the fake ones that we sell here, like an actual juicy mango?
Yeah, on the beach in Thailand. It was one of the best days of my life. It was.
Oh,
I know.
Unreal. I know.
Picking it from their tree, getting the dust off, giving a little wash.
You've got
on
no
your
shoes on, no socks,
it's wonderful.
No
it's
shirt.
Wonderful.
It's great. Love
it's
it.
It's beautiful. Very nice. Beaches are I do love a beach. I'm Cancerian, so I'm crabby and like to be beside the beach. The reason why I'm asking these things is because our climate is breaking down. Rising seas and extreme weather events are costing lives and putting tens of millions of people around the world at risk. And younger generations are being robbed of their future, of a healthy, livable planet. But climate change also presents an opportunity to change the way we live. Somebody who is really making waves is Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg. After Thunberg addressed the 2018 United Nations Climate Change Conference, student strikes took place every week somewhere in the world.
People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe.
That's a very popular viral clip that went round and made waves across the world. Put your hand up in the room if climate change concerns you, and there is no harm in not putting your hand up. Put your hand up if climate change concerns you. Okay, tell me why.
Climate change concerns me because it's something that it's not affecting the West world as much as countries in Africa. A few weeks ago, there was a flood in Somalia and hundreds of thousands of lives were at risk and so many people were made homeless because of it. And that's my home country. And to be able to watching family asking for money and asking for so much money that we don't have it's just sad.
How did it make you feel when you had those sorts of calls coming in?
I didn't have to deal with it as much as my mum did, but feeling like I couldn't help them and the hopelessness of it was just infuriating.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then you sort of look around at the streets where you live here in Manchester and you sort of, you must have felt quite privileged, did you?
Yeah, I felt like so privileged that I didn't have to deal with it and I didn't have to be there, but my dad's there, my brother's there.
Anyone else then that feels like climate change is concerning them?
So part of the reason it worries me is that I think as humans we have this natural assumption that things will just carry on. I don't think we always notice it, but I have this idea that when I'm say 50 or something, the world will essentially be like it is, which if we carry on as we are, it certainly won't be. And I think the idea of sort of bringing children into a world like this as well is quite terrifying, thinking what would you be putting them into?
Do you think then on that point, do you think that older generations ignored the warning signs that they had?
I think older generations, yes, but more consumers in demand. I've been to Kuala Lumpur Airport. I don't know if any of you have. The palm oil plantations are as far as the eye can see. Yeah. It broke my heart to see. And 95% of that rainforest in Malaysia is gone. There's 5% left.
Also that we can wash ourselves with products.
Yeah. The problem is the consumerism. There's too many of us. We keep having babies and there's far, far, far too much demand. The world can't cope.
The world can't cope. I don't think the world can cope at the minute. It really shocks me personally. Yes.
I think what concerns me the most about climate change is because it's something that we need to do as a world altogether. And I feel as though like there's more priorities towards benefit and profit and money and business. And I think that, for example, like China, like, you know, sure, all of us can do a little bit here and there, you know, but, you know, there's big places like China that are not going to do anything about it. So I think that's the most worrying part, is that if we want to save the world, we have to do it as collectively all together. But when there's people that are not even willing to listen to environmental changes, then that's a big problem.
Yeah, thank you for that. Do we think then, because I certainly see this myself, where in my home, I've got 3 bins, right? Anybody else have more than 1 bin in their home, right? And we're being forced to separate all of our plastic and our food and everything like that. I get it. It makes sense. However, massive companies who bottle water and ship out millions of bottles of water per day are still allowed to do that. Why is that?
The reason why they're allowed to make so many bottles is that they don't make them in the UK, or they don't make those bottles in Western countries. They make it in countries where they're having industrial revolutions like China or Bangladesh. And then those bottles get shipped over here.
Open Forum, can we stop climate change now, or is it too late?
I think we do have time, but we just like need to act like now. Like, I think someone said, like, I can't remember, that we have like 10 years or something like that to change it, and then after that it's kind of too late. I don't know if that's like a proper fact, so don't like check me on that. But I just think people need to act like now, because people are just thinking, oh, like, we'll just like wait a bit longer. Like, I just feel like it's not getting to where it should be, like where it should be now.
And what sort of things do you think that we can do to help?
Push the people in power. Like, we can do obviously like the little things and stuff, but I feel like if you're in power, you obviously have more of a responsibility to do that.
Yeah, okay, next.
I know it sounds weird, but I think like the whole climate change thing is somewhat like, because a lot of the younger generation now want to save the environment. I think it's just somewhat we'll all like, over time it'll just die off, you get what I mean? It's like, we can look back now, it's like, I've got stuff that my grandparents tell me that like, I'm like, no, just no. So like, because like, I don't really care about the environment, but like my cousin does. And like, she's like proper onto it. But then you look at, so like our parents, they don't really care about the environment. And then our grandparents, they just don't care at all. But like, I think over time, so like with every new generation, like, because every generation is different. So I think it'll just over time, generations will care more and more. So it'll just be something we all like just do over time, naturally, like second instinct to won't have to try.
Does anybody want to comment on that?
I think the media have a big role to play in trying to change it. And like you said, people in power, we really need to get people at the top saying the right stuff. And also like the fads of the media, like it's great if you're eating loads of vegetables, but if they're from across the other side of the world, then it's no better. So I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot that needs to be, fake news needs to get rid of. People in power need to actually make a change and actually say what's going on and implement it. Just because they can't see it, that, and it's nothing to do with money, they don't care about it. So it needs to happen. It needs to happen now.
If you had to pick one thing that you could do to change and to help the climate change thing that we're going through, what would it be?
Get everyone to start thinking local, which is an initiative that my mum, got to give her a shout out because she's been working on it her whole life.
Really cool. Let's give her a proper shout out.
Yeah, so Jenny Phelps MBE, for her hard work over like her whole lifetime of conservation. She's amazing. But it's about bringing it back to localizing it. Like, where's your food coming from? Is it down the road? What are you eating? Is it your neighbor's cow or something? I know it can't be the same in all cities, but they're trying to implement structures that mean it can work for cities and it can roll out. So yeah, bring it back to home, get everything from down the road or make it.
Okay, cool. That's interesting.
I think one half of teenagers are Greta Thunbergs and they're really like rooting for this, no pun intended, rooting for the environment, and they really want to just get on with it. But then there's another half of teenagers, and it's not just teenagers, but people who will just be eating their packet of crisps. And I've seen people, they just drop their crisps on the floor and walk away. And that's definitely something to do with how you've been raised. And I think it's up to us to raise our kids, when we have them, to, you know, be proud of where they're from, what they've grown into.
Okay, yes. More comments then? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be people who are going to be apathetic to climate change and the effects of it. So the burden doesn't always fall on the head of the individual. And I get what you're saying, that like you should instill those sorts of values into families. But then, you know, life is a lot more complicated for some families than others. So if you're saying to them, you know, let's just all get it all together, everyone needs to have this clear morality of how parenting should be, and the burden then falls on the individual and the family to then fix climate change, when the overwhelming majority of the burden that we're putting on our environment is consumerism, for start of what you said, but then it's major corporations. It's kind of a weird narrative to say, yes, we can change the world as individuals if we start changing our diet and stuff like that. Doesn't really mediate the overbearing factor that these companies and large corporations that create so much pollution are almost untouchable.
Do you know what? I do agree with what you're saying there, but there's a great saying that is, be the change that you want to see in the world, okay? And there are two ways that you can look at that, because I did actually make the very similar point earlier. You know, why should I worry about which bin I put my plastic bottle in when, you know, Joe Bloggs down the road in his bottle factory is making 1 million bottles a day, which doesn't constitute to my one bottle. However, if I still put that bottle into recyclable bin where it's supposed to go, I am being the change, and I am putting out that changeable energy and that out into the atmosphere, and that can only bring good.
No, I agree with that. I agree with the point of saying stay local then, because if you see the political machine as it is kind of unmovable to the will of, you know, the mass populations, why we have such a stagnant political system, why we have in this country. It's why we're still stuck in a Brexit situation.
But talk to me about this. So if that is your opinion, which I totally get, would you then be anti-protest?
No, I wouldn't be anti-protest, but I see why people are apathetic to the political system and why people don't trust.
But we must have all seen, everybody in the room, you must have seen how the protests are getting bigger. People are becoming more aware. If you look at social media, people are sharing more things on social media. So actually, instead of, you know, it's kind of the same thing, putting that bottle in the bin, and also sharing those stories, talking about things in offices and in workplaces, not just with your family, but actually it's all part of that same mentality of, we need to be the change.
Can I just make a comment on your one plastic bottle?
Please do.
The analogy that just keeps on giving.
Why did you buy the plastic bottle? You didn't, you know? No. You know, it's kind of just like, you don't need to buy the plastic bottle. If these people, it's all about making money and seeing how lucrative things are. If plastic bottle companies don't get bought from, they won't be making it, because they won't be making money.
Yes, I do agree with that. And actually there is so much in that, because it's sort of finding what is true, what is happening, what's the economics behind it, and how you can make a difference. I do completely understand that. Okay. Up next, we have our final artist of the day. Let's welcome Boa to the Open Forum today. Boa raps, a search for belonging, a home, only to find comfort in her soul, her house. Home to Boa is how you evolve and where your soul is at. To find her on Instagram, you can @jungle.boa. Our final artist of the day. Give it up for Boa.
Snake charmer, wrangle arms, even tempted Eve with the apple, even true lies so fickle, hearts trickle, when energy should the veins tickle, minds pickle, good, strong, bound, tight, right, in the middle, absolute space, constant speed, my belief, release your heart from grief, to know beast, something, and I started to see, spanned out a cage, gratifax, baby, fancy planted in the law gardens, won't change like the sunsets, in the west, the more I go on, the more I know I'm blessed, taken elsewhere, hard earned respect for peace in my heart, on my last day, allow allow me to escape. I wanna eat fruit in the bay. Nature, actual presence is the only way. Never ending paradise. Always had a dream I'd be free for the sea. Sunsets and slow mindset, sort of peace, tranquility. Trips to the Far East all the time, don't give up, cause I'm a beast. Places I must reach out of the ends, doing bits for the cause. Pause, trying not to show phase. Now I've seen the world, I want more, I know more, understand more. Open doors, I'm wondering, cure, living out a suitcase with no base. Love this place, never want to leave, but my calling is placing some sort of grind before I vacate. Cause I know what route life will take. Refuse to complain, even if I'm in a state. And that's the good. From the mothership, blessed to see cover other than the Don Donna. Started eating plants, cut the goodness on the cooker. Leave it to bubble about an hour and a quarter. Days get shorter, seasons change. Develop a taste palette for the salad. Learn to be a savage with balance. Imagine huffing, sharing air, I breathe, no release. Change space, time increase, slow speed. Cause life is gloom, doom. May as well shape ourselves. Make some use, like get in the frying pan. I want the recipe, you don't create the flavors. Now follow me, can't see today. Dream in the night, night dream in the day. So sleepy, like uppercut from life to the face. So tired of these games, don't wanna play. My tears already dried, cause I could do it twice. Premeditated heat, she dishes out the treats. This is how the bubble gets freaky on the beat. Bone killer, no iller, like heads down, thumbs up. I used to lift the rocks at school to see the cool bugs that weren't food. I used to chill with my bros in my own bubble, dancing in the sun, jumping in the puddle for fun and boredom. Heads down, thumbs up. I used to lift the rocks at school to see the cool bugs that weren't food. I used to chill with my bros in my own bubble, dancing in the sun, jumping in the puddle. The motherland is motionless, full of hopes, a simple life. The more cussed, the night the fear of appearing dumb. Them opportunities become kinda complex. No cushion, no hold it back, no more fusion. Flush between the lines, ain't a worry of mine. Cause I got time, kindness is the pal of mine. Paramount of utmost importance to come by. Something I started to go by. Sniff in the rates, my words are turmoil. You feel pain, you feel joy. What gist am I giving you? Now the bow was spoken, woken, choking on the broken. With that I've been crafted, striving for the freedom. Soaked in the queendom, spread for the seed. And my flows, they got feelings. Poured it for galore, ain't no ordinary. I'm the young core, still sorting places. The mind aches us. Remember, surrender to the peace of which I am a member. See beyond your external, all the places that are thermal. Although we are hurting with the wisdom within, I see your journey, honey. You wear it on your sleeves. Where do you wanna be? Somewhere down the road that got good to destiny. Took lyrics and storytelling to a scramble maze of words I need to bring structure. Always fought a lot and I wondered.
Give it up for Paul.
Thank you.
Wow.
3.5 minutes.
Why has that song not got a name?
Those are bars that I've written before through my own journey, traveling. Maybe you heard a few lyrics there that you could relate to. I thought it related to the topic today, which is why I chose that.
And was traveling a big thing for you then? Was that you mentioned before that you find yourself when you were traveling? Would you recommend people to go traveling?
100%. Only if you're not running away from your problems. If you run away from your problems, when you come back, they're going to be twice as worse. So make sure you've developed something at home, at least to be happy about, to come back to first.
But well, thank you so much for sharing your piece with us today. I'm not going to call it a song because it was a piece, right? thank you, Boa. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Okay then, folks, the final thing I want to talk to you today, you didn't think I was going to let you off lightly, something really light, something that we can all get our head around, space travel. With this in mind, does anybody remember this? Let's have a listen.
The search has begun for volunteers for a mission to fly to Mars. The only slight catch is that if you go, you can't come back. It's part of a plan by a not-for-profit Dutch company called Mars One, who want to establish a permanent human colony on the Red Planet.
Today, the Mars One Foundation starts the search for Mars inhabitants. The search for people from all nations who want to settle on Mars. Mars One is a not-for-profit organization that is working on landing the first crew on Mars in 2023 and another crew every 2 years after that.
Takeoff, landing and various parts of the mission will be streamed on the internet, with Mars One claiming an estimated potential audience of 4 billion. Successful applicants will have to undergo 7 years training before the flight, which will take 7 months. The one-way nature of the mission has raised questions from some over whether or not it's ethical.
Right, with that in mind, put your hand up if you want to go to Mars. Okay, there's only 6 of us in the room that want to go to Mars. That's totally okay. Why do you want to go to Mars?
Yo, what do I sign up? No parents telling me what to do.
Oh, I love that one. Yes, I love that one. Who else wanted to go to Mars? Why do you want to go to Mars?
Because you're pretty much making history by being the first colonizers of a planet completely out of our reach and being able to start a new future. So, yeah.
Who else wants to go to Mars? Yes.
So I don't want to go to Mars, but I want everybody else to go to Mars.
Yes.
So I can have a bit of peace and quiet.
Love that. You want to go to Mars?
I think it'd be a great way to represent the human race.
Would you trade Earth for Mars? And would you be able to give up your home for good?
I mean, probably not, no.
No. Are you a home bird?
Yeah, very much. I can't even really consider leaving Manchester at the moment, you know what I mean? So leaving the entire planet is kind of a no-go.
Final question I want to ask you today before we go. Is home somewhere physical or is it emotional? Can we feel at home when traveling on Mars or somewhere else?
I mean, for me, it's on a smaller scale than probably a lot of people in this room, but I've moved around a lot. My dad's in the Air Force, only down in the south, but and then up to Manchester, obviously. But I think from that, and being in different houses every 2 years kind of thing, I've learned that it's more of an emotion than it is a place, because I'm so used to just going about packing my bag. It's the people you're with, I think. If you've got a roof over your head, that roof could be metaphorical or it could be a real roof. But yeah, I would say it is emotional, because I just think you just got to surround yourself with the right people. And we all move on all the time and things change and it's unpredictable. So if you've got that base of community, then you can go anywhere and come back to it wherever you are.
Well, I agree with what you said, because I've left my family behind and now mothers and fathers are basically your roof and they're basically home. But the only people I have in my life right now is my sister and my brother, and that basically is home, because I get the comfort and the warmth and the protection I need. So it doesn't really matter. It's the people around you.
Okay, interesting. Thank you. Yes.
Home is definitely an emotion, because like for me, it's as long as I'm around my friends. It's like my best friend, I told him where he is, that's my home. Because you could drop us in the... We've both been through hostels together, through the worst times. As long as you could drop us in the worst situation. And I know, because I'm with him and it's home, I'm getting through it.
I want to say a big, big thank you to all of our contributors today. DePaul, of course, who've came and they've shown their support for all of you who at home who might be listening to this thinking that they have problems with homelessness or they might be on the brink of being homeless, and you can get onto their website and get support with that. We'll put all of these on our social media. And of course, to everybody who's spoken so openly and honestly today here at Open Forum and respected each other's opinions and views, I want to say a big, big thank you to all of that, all of you for doing that. And our artists as well, of course, our singers, our songwriters, our rappers, our poets. It's just been wonderful to have you all here. So please give yourselves a big round of applause. I've been Dean McCulloch. You've been listening to Open Forum. We will be back next month with a whole other topic about relationships. We all have them. Sometimes we don't want them. Sometimes we don't need them. But it's something that we do need to talk about. So please do join us when we do that next month. A big, big thank you to Gadio, to Reform Radio for producing the show today. And of course, to Audio Content Fund for making it all happen. Catch up with the show again on Reform Radio's website and of course at gadio.co.uk. Ladies and gents, one more time for Open Forum. Ladies and gents, give us a big round of applause. The Beat.